My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. Though it may have been swallowed by the sorrow of an impending saccharine doom, Deer Hollow is still a bastion of your memories of a better time. And despite its current pallor, the town still retains a tenuous hold on life. A hold bolstered only slightly by the hope that you four represent. The Tanglewood, however, retains none of the whimsy of memory. It is stark and jagged. The shadows are harsh and the darkness rumbles with hunger. The dark, scary things often hide in dark, scary places, and the Tanglewood is the darkest and scariest place you have ever seen. So what must that mean, you wonder, for the things that hide inside? The four of you spend the night in Deer Hollow, resting up. This counts as a long rest for all of you. So any hit points that you expended are regained. Any gift dice that were expended, as Amira had, are regained. And you find yourselves early in the morning, all four of you near the edge of the Tanglewood Forest, that harsh and stark cutoff from light into darkness of the forest, with the four of you, Matt the horse, as well as an additional horse, Spot.
Matt sleeps in the bed next to me.
Of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm here for this.
The proprietor of the inn, Hannah, initially didn't love seeing a horse going up the stairs, but then like walked in and saw how cute you guys were together and realized this is wonderful. This is lovely. This has to happen. I'm not going to make Amira sleep out in the stables with Matt. Matt must sleep inside with Amira. And you also have Celine's horse, Spot, a very regal, white and spotted horse that has
Spot
agreed to go
Magnificent.
With you.
Spot the Magnificent.
Full name is Sir Spot the Magnificent, first of his name, champion of the West, and seeker of the horizon.
He's a sir?
He's a sir.
He was knighted?
He was knighted. Spot.
Wait, so how does that, how does that work with the knighting of the, we assume in this world with the knighting, it is protection, doing great deeds. Was there Was there a ceremony?
Oh, there was certainly. I think you actually, as you guys are walking to the edge of the Tangwood Forest, you had casually, like, asked Spot something, and Spot very quickly corrects you. It is actually Sir Spot, first of his name, champion of the West, and seeker of the horizon. I was knighted by Selene when I was merely 3 years old, barely a colt myself, and I must tell you, I have earned every title I've found. I run faster, I jump higher, and quite frankly, I'm one of the most impressive horses that there is. And so humble as well.
Top shelf humility, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do they knight you for humbleness? Is there a knighthood for humbles?
They did, and they gave me a title for it too, but I'm so humble that I don't include that title. As you guys make it to the edge of the Tangwood Forest, you see a small party there to kind of greet you and see you off. You see Mayor Theo, you see Roxy with a big stack of papers, looking kind of anxiously at Amira, who had recently drank that that potential inoculation that... The snack scene.
The snack scene.
A potential snack scene to this candy curse. You see Roxy there with a big stack of papers. You see Rory, the small boy you had rescued, who's, you know, kind of double hand waving at you guys. Guys, you're going to be so great. Hi. It's remember
nobody,
me.
Nobody
it's
look
Rory.
At him. Nobody
Rory
look at him. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Don't look directly at
Ignore
him.
Ignore the kids.
He's going to try to sneak into the woods.
Adelaide just kind of like looks down and she's like looking at her thumbs, but Adelaide's not super great at focus. So the more that Rory is kind of yelling and waving his arms, like the harder it is for Adelaide to not just like look over.
You just see the small child. Look at me. I know you're going to look at me. Look at me. Look at me first. Look at me first. I have a quest for you. Look at me. Look at me. You know you're going to do it. You know you're going to do it.
Adelaide looks over at him.
Damn it.
Rory immediately runs up to you and like grabs both your hands and goes, if you see my dog, can you be sure to grab him for me?
Oh, what's the dog's name again?
Oh my God, I just forgot my dog's name.
Did I write it down?
As you were saying it, I realized I'd briefly forgotten it from what I had read earlier. But it turns out my dog's name is Brownie.
Brownie.
Okay. That's right. Yes.
He's a really good boy. He's a little chocolate lab, not like chocolate, like made of chocolate. Like he was, you know, like a lab before anyone did. He's not candy yet, as far as I know.
Okay.
It's going to be a normal dog. Is this dog going to attack us?
Honestly, Brownie never turned to candy.
Okay. So we're just looking for any brown dog. We just bring you any brown dog. Adelaide is writing down any brown dog.
Well, my specific dog has a big red collar and a little doohickey on the bottom that's made of metal that says Brownie. And then on the back, it says my address. 123, the street.
I'm going to kill you.
It's okay, Amira. Just
all right, sorry.
Fine.
Take out rage from my head and I put it in a bottle.
Put it
sorry,
in a bottle.
Sorry,
just
sorry,
only
sorry,
if
sorry.
We happen to run across a dog. What do we think the odds are that'll happen?
I just don't like children. I'm sorry.
Amira, you see next to you a big arm like kind of flops on your shoulder, and you see Connie next to you, clearly like still a bit drunk from another night of just drinking at the tavern.
Oh, Connie.
She's found a way to pass the time. And she goes, man, me too. This kid, I mostly hang out at the tavern because this kid isn't allowed in.
That's why. It's because of the kid.
Well, there's other reasons too, but that was what drove me there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. You see, Amira, she is holding, tied together by the laces, are her boots, which you see kind of have this like slightly magical twinkle to them. And ooh, she hands them over to you and goes, so since you guys are going to be delivering some letters and stuff, and you're going to be out in the woods and maybe you have a chance at this, these are my boots and they've been magical for a while. If you want to use them, you're more than welcome to. I haven't been able to use much of them here.
What makes them magic? What do they do?
So these are my wayfaring boots. Pretty easy. If you are using them you try to like go for too long, you won't have to do any kind of like, you won't be weary the next day. And for every 60 miles, they're not charged right now, but if you walk 60 miles, they charge up and you can have a one-time teleport.
Oh.
Oh, thank you.
Can you take anybody horses? With you?
Or, yes.
Yeah, answer Amira's question first.
It's you and anyone you're holding.
Oh.
Anyone you're holding hands with.
So if Matt wears them and we're all riding Matt.
Yeah.
We all...
I mean, I've never put them on a horse before, but I guess you could certainly try.
All right.
And that means that we'd all be riding Matt, though.
Yeah.
You're right, never mind.
So we'd all be riding Matt. No, this sounds great to me.
Nope.
That sounds fantastic.
I don't want this anymore, Adelaide. I don't want this.
Let's shoot that horse.
One on one of the front hoops and one in one of the back hoops. Even it out.
Spot gets on top of Matt, too.
Yes.
Whoa, okay. That's bold.
Mechanically, these boots, you will not have to make a wits check to see if you are wearied after pushing it during travel.
Nice.
And every 60 miles you walk, these boots will recharge, and they will allow you to teleport with anyone you're touching to a location in your memory. You will have to make some kind of check to see how close you get.
Okay.
But even if you fail that check, you are going to be within a couple of miles of where you want to be.
That's a good escape ability. Like if, you know, things hit the fan and we got to get out fast, that's good.
It's extremely powerful. It is a thing that you have to recharge by walking in them for 60 miles. So... It is a use when needed.
So is this the kind of thing that, because only one person can wear them. So if I guess somebody has a low wits that they're unlikely to roll under, it would be best for that person to wear them?
I will let you choose how you want to, who you want to have wear them if you want anyone to wear them. Because ultimately, that will help that person not be wearied if you guys push hard into travel. They will also be the least likely to succeed on, like, the teleportation check if and when you use that.
Cool, cool, cool. Question. So we can teleport anywhere within someone's memory. So if someone remembers a place, we can get there?
The way you asked that.
Let me look at the book.
It's a fair question.
It seems specific enough that I need to retreat back into text.
Where I'm like, where have we been?
All right. When charged, click your heels together and test wits to attempt to instantly transport yourself and any friends that are joining hands with you to a chosen familiar location. A failed test takes you within 6 miles of that intended destination.
Okay, great. So we all just need to be holding hands. We can go to a familiar location, meaning like a place that you've been to maybe a few times or have frequented in recent memory, perhaps.
I mean, yes, but the way you're saying it makes me nervous.
No. Brian, just let me know if this is true. If we put the boots, and they're charged, right?
They're not charged.
They're not charged.
You have to walk 60 miles in them to charge.
Yeah, we gotta get that 60 miles right.
They are uncharged.
You think if we could just cut the system right now?
But Connie wasn't even using them. I was like, we could teleport to wherever we want. We can go to the castle or Barry Park or whatever. Never mind.
They are uncharged at the moment. Connie hands these to you and goes, listen, if you can get good use out of them, please use them because, you know, I've been stuck here. I can't get any miles in, so... And also, it's just tough to get out of this place.
So generous of you, Connie. Thanks.
Thank you, Connie. Thanks, really appreciate that. What do these boots look like? I know we talked about, like, all of the mechanics and all that stuff. Blah, blah, blah.
Are they cute?
Not tired. Blah, blah, blah. Teleport, blah, blah, blah. Memory. What are they looking like? What is...
These are cool. These are definitely, like... These boots are made for walking.
They are. Okay, so
right
are
there.
They like, are they REI boots or are they cunty?
Mm.
Is the question that I'm asking. Mm-hmm.
If REI wanted to get a little cunty, this is what they are. They're definitely,
all
parts of them are very workmanlike. They are meant to be walked in. They are very purposeful and rugged. But also there's like little bits of flair to them. It's clear that Connie has had these for a long time and has customized them. So there's like flashes of like, it's someone who has like gone in and painted different parts, has added like little tag bits to them.
Aww.
So there are some kind of like DIY hearts and lightning bolts on them, but also some like personalized like embroidery type stuff in them.
Oh, they have like crack charms on them. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you used to like draw on your chucks. Okay, cool. So like, rain boots, like REI and the G and N.
Hey.
Y'all gotta stop encouraging me when I do that.
I
it's
love
like
it.
Two puns in one. It's terrible.
It's beautiful. Ship it.
You all begin to head out. Roxy is there. She looks at Amir and goes, so just make sure I have a separate section of forms in case you lose the first section of forms that you got to make sure to fill out. So the right. first night, yeah. you haven't seen any symptoms yet. You will know for sure within 72 hours. So within the next 2 days, if you start to see any sprinkling or if you start to see any licorification or any kind of hardening or canification, just make sure you note that very clearly in these pages, okay? All of this will be incredibly helpful in me being able to find a cure, okay?
Okay, and do you need my princess security number? Is that, can I just keep that blank?
I guess you can leave it blank. I don't need, no. Want, yes.
For what purposes?
And finally, Mayor Theo just kind of looks at you guys and...
Best of luck to all of you. The Tanglewood is a dangerous place, and my wife wishes she could be here to wish you off as well, but she was feeling rather ill this morning, and as are we all. So please, travel safe. Do your best. Our prayers and our hopes are with you. Good luck.
We're certainly gonna try.
Take care of yourself.
That's all we can do.
That's all you can do. I gotta go.
All right, time to go. Everybody on Madden spot. Let's go.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder. Podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you guys begin to make your way into the Tanglewood, it is now that I'm going to explain how the candy curse works in this
Uh-oh.
Game.
Oh, no.
Why? I don't think we need to know.
What's happening? Why? Why are you saying it?
Why?
Rather than explaining what will happen to each of you should this curse progress... Because we still don't quite know yet if Amira has been infected with this candy
curse. Okay, that's what I like to hear. That's good news.
Okay.
Rather, I want to tell you how this candy curse may and likely will affect the people that you've met already.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
At the end of every day, we will roll the candy curse dice. That dice starts at a D8. If you roll a 1, two things will happen. The first is that a villager will succumb to the curse.
Oof.
And the second is that dice will shrink to the next lowest polyhedral size.
Oh, okay.
So D8 will become a D6. If you then roll another one, that will become a D4. Once it is at a D4, it will stay at a D4.
Okay.
Making every time a day passes, a 25% chance that someone you have met will turn fully to candy.
Is it just Rory? Because I'm okay with that.
What I need right now, Amira.
No.
I think so.
Why?
I think so.
No.
This is good. Yeah,
make
yo,
Bridget
yeah.
Make Bridget do it.
No, Amira, we're already here. We're teed up and ready for you, baby.
Amira, this past night you have felt very aware of your body, just looking for any different changes that could be perceived as becoming
man,
candy.
Not puberty again.
Oh, God.
I need you to roll a D8. I want you to know that if you roll a 2 through 8, no one will have changed.
Okay.
If you roll a 1, the mayor will return to find his wife has turned to candy.
Ooh, April.
Dang, Brian, that's cold.
Oh.
Okay, I'll roll a D8, you said?
A D8.
Okay.
7.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay, all right.
April makes it another night.
Town makes it another night as you... all turn into the forest and begin to find your way through the paths and trails that slowly, or rather quite quickly, begin to fade from view and from existence, and you find yourselves moving through a harsh and a wild terrain. We are going to do some of the traveling rules for this game now. You guys are making your way towards Berrybrook. You have a pretty clear idea of where you are going. You know it is to the northwest of Deer Hollow. You have some good directions, not great directions. There is always a chance you can get lost. You know that it is a total of 18 miles away.
Who's wearing the boots? I smell them and I'm like, this smells disgusting. Hey, Winnie, you want some boots?
My eyebrows pull and I'm going to take the boots in two fingers, turning them around, and I'm literally just going to immediately pull out of my current boots and slip into them. Nice. And then tie my other boots to my backpack.
Nice. I knew you'd
like
them.
I'm going to stretch out in them, stretch my heels. I'm going to go quadruped, gallop around a couple of times, kick my feet, do a couple jumps.
Got to break them in. And you start moving around. They feel incredibly comfortable and squishy. It feels like even after just a few steps, you feel your feet are not going to get tired in these things. They seem almost rejuvenating as you walk. And on the sides, you see a little 6-part clock that slowly begins to tick up with each mile that you walk.
Oh, interesting. I love that those are on the boots. Okay. Oh,
funny. I like it.
That is cunty.
That is giving, honey. Giving.
You guys know that Berrybrook, where you are headed to, this area of the Pixies, where you expect to find the tail of the king of the Pixies land, though you're not quite sure exactly what that means because there is no king of the Pixies land, is 18 miles away. You can travel 6 miles per day through wilderness, 12 miles per day along the road, and to either of those, you can push an additional 6 miles if you then test resolve the next day to see if you are wearied.
Okay. Is it an individual weariness check or a group check?
It is always individual for that.
Okay.
I will say traveling on horseback is similar. You can travel 18 miles a day on roads or 24 miles a day if you can push it. Horses do not give you any additional speed on rough terrain. They can travel 6 miles through rough terrain or 12 miles if you push it.
Okay.
So kind of no matter what here, you are riding through rough terrain. It will spend at least one night in the Tanglewood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On this first night, how would you like to travel? Would you like to travel just 6 miles, or would you like to push it to travel 12?
I mean, if we have to spend the night there anyway and get tie-tie, I don't see why we wouldn't do 12. But I'm sure someone here smarter than me has good reasoning.
No, I also am like, I think we should just push it.
Because we need to do 12, but we're still in the forest, and then we do another 6 the next day, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can just rest after the 12, and then just do a regular 6, so not be tired when we get to the...
Yeah, that maths.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Brian, this can't go wrong. We're doing 12.
Nothing will go wrong with this. We will absolutely get a long rest. There's no reason why we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No reason why we wouldn't. It's fine.
Danielle's correct. Flawless. You have to honor that.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Respect her authority. Let's do it.
I don't know why that was so funny.
It's funny because I'm picturing Winnie doing it.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
South Park is canon in this.
Right. Winnie is apparently a huge fan. Right.
Winnie contains multitudes, okay?
Yeah. I'm imagining you whittling like little Cartman, like the forest version of an action figure, like a pop.
Like a Funko Pop thing.
Yeah, like a forest Funko Pop.
Yeah, they make those, Brian.
They totally make those here.
They make those things. Here.
It's real. Canon.
Okay, it's canon. Ship it.
As you guys push it through this first day, you travel rough and difficult through a terrain that is wild and unknown to you. There are clearly paths that existed in this area that have been grown over very quickly. You begin to try to take paths, making it a little bit easier to travel, and quickly you realize those paths are circling back on themselves in a way that no one would have built them that way, but that the forest has been corrupting with this curse.
Oh.
Oof.
Ooh, okay.
You move slow but steadily throughout the day, pushing hard into the evening. when it gets dark outside, it doesn't really get particularly darker in here. You just feel a change in the temperature and the pressure and the feel of this place as you move from day in near darkness to night in near darkness.
Wow.
Mm.
For every day that you guys travel, or any time that you guys spend time, we are going to roll a potential wrinkle.
Oh.
For wrinkles, if it is unfamiliar territory, you will roll a d8. If it is wild territory, you will roll a d6. And if it is dangerous territory, you will roll a d4. For this, I'm going to say it is a d6.
Okay.
2 through 6, nothing happens. If you roll a 1, there is a wrinkle that you will experience.
Are we all rolling it, or is it just Amira?
I just think
you should do all group rolls.
No.
I just think you should be in charge of that.
Clarity is equity. I like this.
I got to tell you, it was on the tip of my tongue to give it to Adelaide, but now it's way funnier to give it to Amira.
No, come on, what? I support this. This is good. This is good.
This is ridiculous.
I like this.
No, this is spot on. Do it.
Oh, come on.
You got it, girl.
Amira, go ahead and roll me a d6. Anything but a 1, you're fine. With a 1, there, we will roll on the wrinkle table.
Come on.
Nothing wrong with a couple wrinkles.
All right. D6.
What'd you get, babe?
Hold a 1. Come on. Watch me do this.
Yes.
No. Amira.
What do you want? Amira, why? No.
Amira.
Why would you do this to us, Amira?
God, Amira, why did you insist that you had to roll for this?
God.
This is ridiculous.
That's so weird.
God.
I mean, I will tell you, wrinkles can be good, they can be bad, they can be neutral, but I'm going to have Amira continue to roll for us. Can you roll?
No. Yay.
Can you roll a d6 on the nighttime Tanglewood wrinkle table? So just roll me a d6.
Oh, come on. I rolled a 5.
It's probably a good one.
Oh, wow. This is so apt. This is why I love random tables, because they're so poetic.
Mm.
As you guys make your way through the woods, you find a decent place to camp. It is not a good place to camp. You never saw a good place to camp, but you found a spot that was as good as any, which is to say quite bad.
Oh, good for us.
You guys set up a rotation to keep watch, and you make sure that the horses are fed, you eat yourself, and then you slowly drift off to sleep. Amira, during your watch, ominous whispers begin to fill your ears.
Matt?
You're not sure if this is the Tanglewood or your own mind, or potentially the curse, as a sickly, sweet smell begins to permeate the air.
Uh-oh.
Is that a unicorn? Hello? Hello?
Amira, do you stay right where you are, or do you move about the campsite, even just a little bit?
Uh-oh.
I mean, if this was real life, I would just pretend to be asleep, but...
if I'm not awake, then they're not awake.
Then they can't exactly.
Right. That's good happening. Logic.
But I feel like the more fun part's to do the thing that you said maybe I shouldn't do and move around the camp.
I think Amira is very cognizant of how dangerous this forest is, and you know not to stray too far from the camp. This isn't a moment where you go off deep into the woods and get lost. Rather, this is a moment of just smelling something and trying to figure out where it comes from. I think one of your first thoughts is probably, is it me?
Yeah.
This sickly sweet smell?
Yeah. Do I have... I have a torch, right? I can kind of light up.
Yeah. You light up a torch. The darkness illuminates, but not nearly as far as this torchlight should go. And you kind of move just around the perimeter of the campsite. And as you do, you hear a faint hum. It's very consistent. And you get a little bit closer to it. You kind of follow it. And then you hear it. It's not a hum. Rather, it's a buzzing.
Hmm.
And as you get a little bit closer to it, you see a rather large beehive.
Uh-oh.
With bees working very quickly. They don't seem particularly to notice you or anything. I think they see you, they see the light, and they recognize it, but they don't recognize you as a threat. But you see these bees working, and the franticness with which they are working is strange. It's tough to put your finger on, but it just looks a little wrong. And the honey's color just looks a little bit wrong. And with torchlight, it's tough to tell, but there is something just a little bit off with these bees.
Those bees are fucked up. Those bees are fucked up. All right. I'm gonna put a little sign in the ground that says, "Messed, fucked up bees, don't go any further." So if anyone else wakes up.
You write a note in the dark ground at night.
Yeah.
What is your handwriting? Yeah, what does your handwriting look like? Is it like very swirly or?
It's like all like real, like illegible cursive is what it is.
There we go. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Like a doctor writing a prescription. Like
Yeah.
A few days later, Mama Bear and Boris will stumble upon this and see a completely indecipherable bit of scribble scratch on the ground and wonder and what it could have possibly meant. Amira, you see these bees and you see this strange honey and you see the way in which they're working that seems, if you were referring to a different animal, you might say feral.
Oh, man.
But to say that about bees is strange.
Huh.
So I slowly just back away from the beehive and whoever's guy has the next watch, I'll just tell them, hey, there's a weird beehive thing over there. So if you hear any noises, it's weird. I don't like it.
You make everyone aware of this beehive. Everyone kind of like maybe jumps over and looks at it. And you all see the same thing. This isn't just something that Amira's seeing. It is the strange movements of these bees and the honey slightly off-colored. Amira, as you fall asleep during your watch, you feel a little odd, but maybe that's the travel. You feel a little bit of something. And as you are falling asleep, you see, as you're kind of like laying down on your arm, on your wrist.
Incorrect.
You see a small little purple something.
No.
In the flickering light of the torch, it looks like it may be a sprinkle.
No. No, I just cover it up and I'm like, that's not real. That's not real.
Not that. Nope.
Amira would cover the zombie, would not tell anybody about a zombie bite is what I'm learning right now.
Yeah. You're that person.
You guys pass the rest of the night and wake up in the morning. And Amira, as you wake up, the first thing you think to do is look down at your arm. And when you look down at your arm, that purple sprinkle-sized thing isn't there. But Amira, another day has passed and the candy curse will progress nonetheless for the town of Deer Hollow. I need you to roll another D8.
Oh, no.
Come on.
There we go. This is good.
This is a bad bit.
Amira, everyone's fate is in your hands.
Don't roll a one.
Three.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Deer Hollow survives another day. See, it's not all bad.
The worst Hunger Games. This is the worst.
This is terrible. Brian, before we proceed forward, am I able to go back to the beehive and just make an inquiry with them to see if they're okay?
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, chat with the bees.
You make your way over to the beehive and you're just able to talk with animals. You don't have to expend any resources, right?
I don't know. Let's explore this together just to make sure I'm not abusing this. This innate abilities use anytime. Whisper, you can speak with animals and intuit their feelings. Yep.
Excellent. What do you say to this beehive as you approach it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to just make my way there right before we leave. And I'm going to drop to all fours to look at some nonsense that's in the ground. And I don't know what that is. I'm kind of confused. My head tilts at it. And you know that gif, that meme where it's like it's speaking to me. I know it from like, what is that aquatic Disney film? Somebody help me. Nemo, Finding Nemo. It's one of those.
Sure.
It's like the text is speaking to me, but I have no idea what's happening. And that's kind of like my relationship with Amira on a regular day basis too. So I'm just going to squat beside it and I'm going to look at the bees. And I'm just going to ask, and it's just a gentle inquiry. Are you guys okay?
You send this gentle inquiry to the bees and immediately get a furious buzzing back that is a just constant refrain that you, like, you've talked to bees before, and bees mm-hmm. are worker, like, you know, they are worker bees. They are constantly thinking about work and moving and creating honey, but this is to a degree you have never seen before. All they are saying is,
honey, 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 for the queen, for the queen, for the queen, honey, 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 more honey for the queen, for the queen, for the queen, for the queen.
Going round and round, flying off and flitting to flowers, and in the daylight now, with little just bits of light pulling through the Tanglewood Forest, you see that the flowers that they are heading to are all slowly turning to candy.
Oh, it can affect plants.
Oh.
Is this like the Candy Crush version of It's Gone Airborne?
It's seeping into the ecosystem.
I think until now you didn't realize quite how much of the ecosystem was affected.
Yeah.
Before, it seemed like Dulcinea's curse went out and boom, people got affected. And like maybe some more people got infected through like wounds or bites or things. You're realizing this is permeating a little bit deeper than you thought and is beginning to affect systems rather than just individual Ooh. Animals.
Yeah, so I think I circle the hive listening to that frantic energy, and then I'm going to follow a few of the bees out, and I realize that the flowers are being corrupted.
Yeah.
Which means that this ecosystem has been corrupted. And you're like, you know, when it was attacking people, that was, you know, bad. I'm not saying I don't feel grief for humans being infected. Like, that was bad, you know, mostly. But that was an isolated, but that was an isolated, that was an isolated group of people. That was just a village problem. But at this point, now I'm recognizing that it's an ecosystem problem. And I think that's just a moment of panic for me, as I'm going to like backpedal and probably, you know, bump into a bush and startle myself and look at a tree. And then I wonder, like, is this bark infected? Is the ground infected? Does this mean the rain is going to become infected? You know, everything is in a balance. Everything works in a harmony. And I realize that now, like, whatever this is has infiltrated deeper than just, we thought it was just, you know, the people, or if you got infected through a wound. And I think just the party somewhere here is this very angry, feral series of, I'm not going to call them a howls, but probably like coughs or barks, as I just alleviate that stress from my nervous system the best that I can. And then I'm just going to bound back. We need to move faster.
Winnie, is everything okay?
No. No, this curse isn't just affecting the people. It's actually affecting the environment. The entire ecosystem is suffering from this curse. We need to move faster.
Oh, dear.
Please.
Well, I think we're only about a day's trek away.
Well, yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough. I'm probably immune, but that's tough. Yeah, we should get out of here.
You said it was Winnie's let us know that it's the flowers and things. So, I mean, if the horses eat any flowers or hay or anything like that,
drinks from water, or it rains on us, or anything that we consume.
Matt,
you guys do have provisions with you that you brought.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a Spot and Matt. You got to eat only the things we brought. It doesn't look like it's safe to forage right now.
Don't eat the grass, Matt.
I am going to remind all of you that this is a game that we will be tracking supplies.
Yeah.
You guys each started with 10 provisions. Amira, it is important to note.
10?
You had 10 each, I believe, at the start of the game.
Okay.
When you're in town, people will feed you for free. Essentially, you don't need to use your provisions. You need to eat one provision a day, or like one ration a day, in order to gain the benefits of a long rest.
Okay.
Each of your horses needs to eat 3.
Fuck.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I think the number probably should be higher, but I'm going to say 3.
Oh.
Don't be that person today, babe. Come on now.
No. Horse expert Brian.
I think I could be a horse amateur for that calculation.
My gosh.
Are provisions somewhere on our character sheet?
It should be in your like inventory. Everyone would have started with 10.
Okay.
There's a good chance this will never come into play, but there's also a chance that it might.
Okay. So I have to spend 1 for myself.
So Amira's down 4.
Yeah.
Should we spread spots out around us?
Probably distribute spot out.
I stupidly use a trail food on the bear thing.
Yeah.
So I think I'm down 5.
That is correct.
Well, would we have stocked back up in the village?
I'm going to say no for now. You're welcome to do that next time you go to the village.
I'm 30. Why?
Feels more interesting this one.
It feels cool. More interesting.
This is all really right. Cool.
That is.
Is anyone feeding Spot?
Does Spot have a Spot is a sir. Spot should be able to take care of his own.
I feel like Spot's got his own provisions now.
You guys wake up and see Spot with a fork and a knife somehow in his hand waiting to be fed.
Oh, shit.
Yep, that works for me.
Yeah, I'll feed Spot today. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll all take turns.
So mark off 3 for Spot. The last thing I need you to do, as you guys pushed it last night, I need everyone to make a check for potential weariness.
Oh, that's right.
I've grown weary.
Weary.
I've grown weary today.
Weary.
Because you traveled an additional 6 miles, you were pushing it. You will need to test your resolve. If you fail that test, so you'll be rolling a d20 and comparing it to your resolve stat. If you fail it, you will be weary.
And if I want to use a heart dice, do I do that before or after my roll?
Heart dice you can only use on allies. You cannot use it on yourself. Right.
So if I want to use that, I can use it after they roll?
Yes, you can always use heart dice after you roll.
Okay.
If you fail on this test, you'll become weary, which means you will have disadvantage on all resolve checks until you have a long rest.
But Winnie's wearing the boots, so she doesn't get weary.
That is correct. Winnie, you will not have to make
this
roll.
Yeah.
Way to go, Winnie.
So everyone go to make your virtue test. Let me know if you succeed or if you fail.
And we're doing resolve?
Resolve. Adelaide.
18 on a 10 resolve.
18, that is a failure. You are wearied and will have disadvantage on all your resolve checks until you have a long rest.
I am tie-tie.
Geraldine.
It's a 3 and a 13.
Geraldine is spry as
she
hell.
Is a morning princess. She doesn't even need coffee, but she likes it.
Hey!
And Amira, how you looking?
17 on a 9.
Amira and Adelaide, both of you. Adelaide, I think you just didn't sleep well, but Amira was truly haunted the entire night by that potential sprinkle that she saw on her arm.
Yeah. Yeah, Geraldine says good morning, and I'm like, I'm not candy. I'm not candy.
I'm not candy. I'm okay.
No one said you were, babe.
Yep, right.
How you feeling?
Bad. Good.
You
good.
And Matt fill out the forms?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I'll fill out the forms. Leave me alone.
No, I'm just checking. I'm just checking on you. I know you're not a morning princess, so I'll let you get yourself settled.
Okay. You're not a morning princess.
You're not a morning princess.
Geraldine is fully doing like calisthenics off in like a small, whatever small clearing she could find. Shorter morning routine.
I'm really imagining that your morning routine starts off like old lady calisthenics and then quickly 100%. Becomes like, you know, muscle ups.
Yes.
Brian, just to reconcile really fast, it was Amira and Adelaide that failed, right?
That is correct. Oof,
yeah.
How close were you guys in your within your failure range? Not close at all?
Not close.
Yeah, not close. I got an 18 on a 10 resolve.
So if we did a heart die, I don't think it would get you guys.
It wouldn't save either of them.
Good looking
Adelaide,
out.
Adelaide like wakes up, but thank you. Adelaide wakes up realizing that she forgot her like sleeping mask that usually like locks everything out. And so throughout the night, she'd been trying to use like her own hair and had just been like tickling and getting hair like in her eyes and nose and just like waking up sneezing. So she gets up bleary eyed, goes to look to see if she's got the energy to put on like a morning beat or like wash her face or anything. But she is like exhausted.
You try to do that morning routine. It's just, you're in the Tanglewood. It's so dark in here. Like, is it even worth it?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, well, no one will see the bags because, like, no one will see anything. It's probably fine. Can't find my color corrector. Like, it's just a bad day.
I'm going to bound over to Spot while he's eating, and I'm just going to whisper something into his ear and then use my nose to point at Adelaide and then bounce away. And basically what I'm going to whisper to Spot is, like, I need you to let my sister ride on you today.
Spot immediately, like, inclines his head and goes, it would be an honor to have any friends of Celine ride upon the back of Sir Spot, first of his name, champion of the West and seeker of the horizon.
Then I freeze. Then I'm going to turn around No, but you can't tell her I'm... No, don't say... Just make the offer. I can't be affiliated with the offer. Just make the offer.
Oh, you want... This is kind of a secret tete-a-tete, and then I should do it as if I'm the person doing it?
Because it was a great idea that you came up with, Spot. It makes sense that you're so magnificent.
Yes, it was.
Spot, we can all hear you.
And Spot like trances off.
Yeah, Adelaide is like just like God. Oh my God! Like Adelaide's like trying to see if she has any like serum or like anything that can like wake her up. And she sees Spot with Spot's like head down. And is like anybody gonna jump on this?
It's all you.
All right, so she just like goes over, tries to get up, and is like so tie-tie. And so just like drapes herself across and is like laying kind of like face down, almost like starfish on top of Spot.
How are you riding a horse?
I thought
like
you were gonna
that?
Say she was like wilted like an old Hollywood drama queen, but this is way better.
This is so much better. This is good.
Spot
starfish on the back of Spot.
Spot immediately looks at Winnie and goes, Is this how she is gonna do this? This is the vibe, huh? No, it's fine. It's just, you know, I like to be seen as regal, and when I'm carrying kind of a limp body, kind of tough.
Yes. No, Spot, she likes to be seen as regal too, but you know what? Sometimes we don't always have regal moments in us, okay?
Good horse.
Good horse.
Wait, Brett, can I ask you a question really quick?
Sure.
I can't remember from last session. Is Winnie the only person who can communicate with Spot, or can Spot talk? I can't remember.
Winnie is the only person that communicate with Spot.
Okay, yeah. So we can't actually hear you on this. Okay.
Oh,
we
damn. I was maybe. Like, maybe this is the one talking horse.
I like a talking horse.
I'm excited to have one animal in the future turn out to be the talking animal.
Mm-hmm. The talking animal is coming.
You guys continue on. You know you have another 6 miles today before you get to Berrybrook. That time passes pretty quickly. However, as you travel, I do need an additional check to see if there is a wrinkle. And since we've been having Amira do it, I think maybe we should just stick with that.
Yeah.
No. Oh, God, no. I thought you were going to change it. You damn it.
That's good storytelling right there. Y'all see that?
Listen, Amira, it's a D6. The dice have gotten the joke. They know that you got the D6 already. They're not going to do it again.
No.
No.
They're not going to do it again.
The dice are benevolent. The dice are
They're Benelopes.
The dice are benevolent. Dice are benevolent. Fuck.
All right. Now I'm not so sure. Now the dice
can
do anything.
Bananagram.
Okay. I rolled a 3.
Okay. Hey.
As you guys move further through the Tanglewood, the darkness and the dankness and the treachery of these paths does not abate as you get closer to where you expect Berrybrook to be. As you are nearing the end of the day, you see the darkness gets a little bit darker and the shadows get a little bit more hungry, and you are on constant lookout for changes in the landscape, for anything that might lead to a clearing or something that would have a settlement or a civilization or something. And it comes up on you extremely quickly.
Uh-oh.
Not what you were necessarily expecting. You were looking for some kind of house or building or settlement or something. Rather, you come upon a very thick fog.
Interesting.
Is it the kind of fog where it's like it's woods and then it feels like it's a wall?
Very much so. You see this spot, and I think you guys look at this fog and even kind of see the edges of it. It's not a fog that stretches into the distance. It's not a fog that, you know, encapsulates an entire area. It is a fog surrounding a small section of forest.
Adelaide feels it more than anything, because Adelaide did rip off like a tiny piece of the hem of her outfit and was using it to like shield her eyes during her leisurely walk with Spot. But Adelaide does feel kind of the moistness and the heaviness. Mm-hmm. If you've ever flown a plane from like Los Angeles to Seattle or anywhere else that's moist. And as soon as you enter the airport, it's just like being hit with thousands of people's hot breath because of how warm and humid it is. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's like something like that, where all of a sudden you just like feel that, like that warmth. So Adelaide kind of removes her makeshift eye mask and attempts to look around. How far, like if I stretch my hand out in front of my face, how far until I like lose my hand?
Good question.
Almost immediately into
Thing.
It is a very thick fog. I think in the realm of a foot before you cannot even see a shadow of your hand.
Wow.
Should we just camp here for the night?
No. Still working on those survival skills, I see.
I don't know what to do in the fog.
Let me see how far it goes if I can't tell. And we're just going to scamper up the closest tree that I can get onto, as high as I can get, and see if I can get some overhead visibility on how far it goes back or how wide or how dense it is.
Yeah, you scamper up without too much problem. And you look and you see that it is maybe like 100 feet in diameter. It's not particularly big. And it only goes up maybe 20, 25 feet, something like that. So it's big, but not like forest size, not like super massive. It is a surprisingly specific section of the forest.
That's so interesting.
And I think, Winnie, from your vantage point, you see around this area something that you haven't seen in a while, which is you see a significant amount of mushrooms and vegetation that are notably not infected with this candy curse. Specifically, you're seeing a lot of mushrooms kind of on the just outskirts of this fog.
I'll scamper down and I'll relay that to everyone very quickly. It looks like maybe, and I just start like very quickly running off numbers on my hand until I think I get to 10, that far across. And I see mushrooms that don't look like they've been candified.
Oh, are they the edible kind? Actually, Geraldine would know. She's a forager.
Oh, yeah, I give you the exact description.
Geraldine, you are very familiar with these kind of mushrooms. They are...
Am I really?
It
was wild in my youth, and I still am.
Geraldine, I think the thing that you know about these mushrooms, they are edible. They can be, like, eaten with food. You could certainly cross-pollinate them pretty easily to make them edible in a different way.
Hey!
Nice.
Most importantly...
Nice.
Most importantly, these mushrooms are cultivated almost exclusively by pixies.
Ooh.
Oh, everyone, these are pixie mushrooms. They're delicious, a rarity. I wonder if this fog might be a protective measure.
Oh, they don't want anybody else to get their stash.
Yes, or they don't want the curse. They don't want anyone to wander in with the curse or come and steal more wands or something.
Oh, so should we steal some of these mushrooms?
I think if we pick a few, we might find that we have some guests and maybe we can chat with them.
Oh, see, I was just thinking about getting high as fuck off the mushrooms. Yeah, no, let's see if we can...
Oh, no, we could do that. We could do that later.
We'll do that later.
We'll make some special teas.
Geraldine is going to forage some mushrooms, yes.
Nice.
You very quickly forage some mushrooms. You pick these things and cultivate them in a way that will not totally kill the entire fungi, but like just take off the bits that you want. As you do, you see above you a couple of birds kind of fly into the fog and then seem to vanish into it. And then a moment later, you see something come out. And you hear, rather, before you heard a flapping of wings that was very fum, fum, fum when the birds flew in, as something comes out, you hear a much quicker, rapid flapping of wings as if a hummingbird, but immediately you recognize it as being pixie wings.
Oh.
It looks like we may have an incoming.
You very quickly see a sharply dressed pixie man who is wielding like a very small pixie sword. Everything about him screams guard or like in charge, you know, protector. But then he has very bright yellow dragonfly wings that seem to be pretty much at contrast with the entire vibe that he's trying to set.
Are the pixies our size or tiny?
Pixies, tiny. Maybe 6 inches tall.
Oh, aww. Very small.
Hey there, cutie.
And immediately flies up to Geraldine, and his whole body is essentially right in front of your face. What do you think you're doing?
Oh, wow. Hello. We were just foraging for some food, and I know that these
You're going to be foraging our mushrooms? I think not. We've been cultivating these for generations.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I know these are a delicacy. They're I wasn't going to take too many.
We are having a difficulty with our food supply right now, so everything that we can get is very important. So I will thank you kindly to hand those to me.
I'm so, so sorry to hear that. It's incredibly stressful. My apologies deep. If I could apologize, you know, perhaps to the queen herself, I would be more than happy to do so.
The queen? Ha! You think this is worth the queen? No, she does not trust humans, and frankly, neither do I. So I will be taking these, and he runs down and like grabs onto the mushrooms in your hands and taking them back to Berrybrook. And immediately flies backwards into the fog.
Wait, what?
Quickly, though, do a test to...
Yeah.
To because one of my innate abilities is cat-like. You have advantage on virtue tests that involve stealth. Can I do, like, a magic trick when someone is, like, sending something between both of their hands and then they pull it out from behind your ear and it's like, where did it go? Who knows? Where did it be? And try to play keep away. Do yes. Close-up magic to play keep away with the mushrooms.
Absolutely. And I think because you've described it explicitly as... close-up magic, and you know how much that tickles me specifically, go ahead and take advantage on it.
Yes. So I'm rolling 2d6?
Sorry, you're rolling 2d20.
2d20?
And you're taking the lower of the two and testing your grace.
All right, my grace is 9. I'm not that graceful.
Nah, come on, baby. You got it. You got it.
Oh, that's a 19 and a 10.
No, you ain't got it.
Okay, I can give you a heart dice.
Take this heart doesn't dice. Make me feel worth it for a heart dice.
No. I have 2.
Amira, how are you using your heart dice? So you can roll for it, but before you do, let me know how you're using that heart dice to help in this moment. As Geraldine is passing this back and forth, trying to sleight of hand, keep away this mushroom from this pixie guard.
I slightly distract him because I have like one of my rage bottles that's empty open because I'm trying to catch the pixie in my bottle.
Okay. So as you are like trying to capture the pixie in the bottle, he is constantly like, no, can't get me. And Amira, go ahead and roll that d4 for me.
3.
That reduces the 10 to a 7, which is below your 9.
Woohoo!
Let's go.
It's been a while since I've done my close up magic. I need practice.
You quickly go back and forth, and after a minute, the pixie just kind of stops and goes, wait a minute. What? Whoa, do that again.
Hmm? What?
Do it again.
Where could they be? Ha
ha! Oh! Hot damn. Now that's some. I know magic, and that's some good magic. You know what I mean?
Thank you, sir. May I ask, what's your name?
I am Patrol Leader Chestnut. I'm responsible for the security of Berrybrook and all of its denizens.
Patrol Leader Chestnut. Well, we actually were headed here to Berrybrook. We had a query for the Queen's way. Have you heard of this candy curse?
Yes, we're all too aware of it. It has infected some of our bees and our honey, and is at the cause of many of our problems and our current food shortages.
Well, we're trying to break it, and there's something I feel may perhaps Queen could help us in our quest to track down the things to break the curse and hopefully return, you know, remedy some of that food scarcity for you.
You see his eyes kind of like narrow at you. The thing you realize about this person in this moment, as he's kind of like looking the four of you over, you sense an inherent distrust, but also a recognition of someone at similar purposes.
Mm.
And so you see him softening, but not quite yet in agreement with you.
So Adelaide just like looks over and is like, so is there like a like a Mrs. Patrol Leader Chestnut? Or...
Oh, you see, this very straight-laced pixie, the wings that were yellow go bright red. It's very clear that he is keeping his face not from blushing, and he cannot control the wings.
Well, you know, my job keeps me pretty occupied. I have a pet glowworm, though, you know, that is my companion. Or it was my companion.
That seems like a very important job, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, he's kind of like looking away from you. He's like, well, you know, even if I wanted to bring you in, you are much too large to enter Berrybrook, and also the fog would repel you at your size. So unless you can become, you know, kind of like a squirrel-sized, not much I can do for you. Though enchanting as it may be to bring you to the town, I don't think it's necessarily a good idea.
Oh, did you just call me enchanting?
No! No, you're I see what you did there. I said some things and you twisted them.
I said something.
she kind of trails that enchanting, she kind of lets go part of her ability, which is the alluring, where I would gain advantage. So just kind of like putting it out there in case we need to de-escalate or anything like that. But also looks over, because I think all of the princesses at the same time remembered that we got a little tiny people potion.
Mm-hmm. We do.
You do have a shrinking potion that you got from Roxy.
So I'm just, you know, if the issue is that we are quite grand with our enchantingness, what if we were a little bit more petite?
Well, seeing as that's not a possibility with humans of your size to even make it past the barrier of this fog, I think if by some happenstance you re-arrived at some point in the distant future as, you know, pixie-sized people, we would happily let you speak to the queen about your queries. But since that's not immediately happening, we needn't worry about it, and I should be on my way, I think.
Why don't we just, let's just put a pin in that. And Adelaide's gonna go, hey, give me the thing. Who's got the thing?
Here.
Adelaide just, hold right there, sailor. And takes just like a little nip, like whatever the amount is that makes you pixie-sized.
Adelaide, can you do me a favor and roll a d4 for me?
Oh, come on.
It's a good D4.
She's drinking the potion that's supposed to do the thing.
This is a good D4.
Okay. Good, because it's a one. So.
It's a one.
Okay,
so this is slightly important thing to consider. There are enough shots in this potion for the four party members plus one D4.
For Spot to be D4. We didn't get enough for Spot. Mm,
so you have enough for four of you and one of the horses. Could be Spot,
that
could
makes
be
sense. Spot was the last thing.
No.
Somebody's gonna have to do patrol anyway, so.
Adelaide, you take a little hit of this potion, and immediately you feel a bubbling in your stomach, and then you feel everything starting at your feet begins to shrink. So all of you see, rather than everything shrink in proportion, you see it starts at Adelaide's feet, and Adelaide's feet get tiny, and then everything else, like top down, like a scanner, starts to get tiny in that size. It's kind of the most disturbing way to turn tiny.
It's weird. It's a weird one.
I'm like stumbling because like I no longer have the weight distribution on the tiny feet. And I'm tired. So I'm like stumbling around a little bit as everything, I guess the tiny version of Werewolf of London, just like body horror my way down to pixie size.
I think, Adelaide, you become very aware there is no cute way to do this.
over there, that would just be so...
We're all watching the entire time.
We're dialed in, fascinated.
We were all in a little group watching you do your thing of like flirting with him. Like, we love to see it happen. We get so excited. Now we're all just standing there being like, oh no.
There goes the arm.
I imagine you do hear a couple of like bones like snapping and like being put back together.
Yeah. Yes. It's not totally pleasant. It's not painful. It's just really weird.
Yeah.
You find yourself pixie size and you see Chestnut looks and goes, bother.
Yep.
Well,
how do you like them chestnuts?
Let's get a goose.
I assume everyone's going in.
I let like Winnie and Geraldine go first. Then I take my sip. Then I look at Matt and Spot and I just give it to Matt really quick. And it's like, sorry, Spot.
So Spot goes, I would have volunteered anyway. It's the most noble thing to do. You kind of took that from me.
I don't know what you're saying. You're a whore. Sorry.
Adelaide, as you kind of like get your faculties together again and kind of like, you know, brush off your clothes and stuff, you look over and see Winnie, Geraldine, Amira, and Matt all shrink in a totally different way. They shrink totally at regular size, and it is actually pretty cute.
Oh, the disrespect continues.
My voice is tiny, but you can hear me. What the hell, man?
There's a great moment where all of you are hearing Adelaide's voice at high pitch, and as you shrink down, it is going back to a normal register.
Oh my God, normalizing.
Yeah. Total absolute fucking bullshit.
Adelaide, it's fine. You looked cute too. You were so cute.
I liked the way you did it. It was fun.
Why do you guys continue to lie to her like that? Like, we have discussed honesty as a family so many times.
Yeah, but sometimes Adelaide's tired. You don't want to be honest with her when she's tired.
She had a rough night.
She's going to yell at us.
We owe her our honesty.
Adelaide does stomp the tiniest little pixie foot and, like, huffs.
So you'll take us to the queen, right? That's the agreement that you made with Adelaide.
Chestnut looks at you and says, well, it seems you've tricked me. In a very predictable way that I probably should have seen coming, but, well, quite frankly, this one was enchanting. She was enchanting, and I was seduced by it in a moment. In a moment of weakness, I gave in to a...
Was enchanting? That's take really cruel.
Why do I take that one from
Jeff? Retry that.
The wings go neon red. Just follow me.
I hand out a mushroom to Chestnut that is like a fan shape. I'm like, here, why don't you hold this one? You can cover up those wings maybe a little bit.
You see, he looks behind and recognizes now that his wings are red. He goes, oh, damn it. And he's like, is reaching behind himself to try to tuck his wings away.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like a kid in a binder. Like, like in school having to present up.
You just lead the way, Patrol Leader Chestnut.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Fiddlesticks.
So, as we were saying about a Mrs. Patrol Leader Chestnut,
you see,
she says as they kind of are walking to go. Mm-hmm.
You guys are walking and he is moving the fan mushroom from being a fan covering things to a fan literally fanning himself.
wait.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, Adelaide, you have to ask red flag questions. Hey, Chestnut, how much do you tip wait staff?
Very important.
He looks very proudly. A minimum 20%. There is nothing more vital to this economy than the wait staff.
All right. I approve.
Well,
this is great.
I already know you would love me if I was a worm. You do have a... So that one's already covered.
Adelaide, he seems like a real catch.
He's great.
Literally, when I get bigger.
Literally. We're going to have to go back to Roxy, get more potions.
As you guys begin to walk through this fog, you see the interesting thing about this fog that you can see from inside it is that at your size of like 6 inches, looking up, you can see there is almost like a low level fog that is just water vapor. And above like a foot, there is a fog that seems to have like a magical element to it. So anything bigger than, say, a small fox or a squirrel would have a difficult time getting into this thing.
Okay.
But you pass under this magical barrier and walking through very confidently through this fog that begins to dissipate rather quickly. You can see a couple of feet in front of you, which in this space, a couple of feet means it feels like a couple of yards or meters or something with the relative scale. And then very quickly the fog dissipates and you see surrounded almost as if it's in the eye of a storm by this fog, the town of Berrybrook.
Hey!
Ah, look at this beautiful place.
We've never been here before, right?
You would have never been here before, but the town of Berrybrook is a very lovely little pixie village that looks as if all of the houses and buildings have been worked into the landscape as naturally as possible.
Oh, I love it.
Almost as if like the rocks and the trees and the things just grew around, or rather themselves grew into houses for these pixies to use. You see a very delicate and clear craftsmanship of mushrooms and bark and trees and rocks and like little hills of mounds of dirt and things. And the entire village is very quaint and lively. And you see a number of pixies all around, flitting around on little wings, going over bridges and like moving all around, eyeing you with a bit of particular note as they move around. Off in the distance, you see a number of houses that are similar in size and stature, and one very large oak tree that has running up the entirety for probably like 15 feet in the air, which in this world feels like a skyscraper almost. A number of rooms and buildings that seem to equate to the entirety of a castle.
Oh, okay.
As you guys walk towards this area, Chestnut looks at you and goes,
"We've had a difficult go of it, as I know much of the forest has, and I'd be happy to introduce you to the queen if you think you can help. Do you know how to break the curse? We've tried our magics on it, and all we've been able to do is just keep a little ring around us. But even we've been affected with our bees getting, you know, this kind of poisoned honey and poisoned a lot of our food supply, essentially."
"Oh, yes, we, did your queen ever get to meet Princess Selene by any chance?"
"I'm not sure of all of her acquaintances. Princess Human?
"Yes."
"It's possible, but unlikely. The queen hasn't made friends with humans ever since the witch Dulcinea came some years ago."
"Yes. Well, our friend Princess Selene found perhaps the answer to breaking the curse, and it involves collecting some stuff and then throwing it down a well. And we're here to see if perhaps your queen can help us find one of the things is somewhere here in Berrybrook in the land of the pixies."
"Really?" You see his eyes kind of go wide and he goes, "I'll be honest, I don't put much stock in fairy tales and prophecies, but at this point, any hope is hope that we haven't found yet. What are the things that you think you'll find in here? We don't have any magical items or particularly potent things."
"You got tails?"
"Yeah, is there a Mr. the Queen of the Pixies?"
"No,
it's a normal way to ask that question."
"That's really good. That's really good. Good job."
You see, there's a moment of coming from you where he seems a little disappointed, as if, "Oh, are you going for the queen now?"
"Oh. No. We're looking. Has there ever been a king, but not for those purposes. For the king has something I need. No, that's not."
"No, you got it. You got to keep going. If
there's something, we're looking for, you know, I'm really interested in that king's tail. No.
Yep.
No. That's...
No, backtrack.
Okay.
You got this, Adelaide.
Just give her a minute, Chestnut.
Let her cook.
I just need to meet the queen, but obviously if it was the king, I would never impugn on the queen and try to get with the king. You're cute.
Put it into song. Sing it.
Nice. Good save.
I like, Adelaide starts thinking as she's spitting it, and she's just like, "I like, your wings. They make me think of rings. The rings in the sky. You're the apple of my eye. I'd like to get to know you better, but that will have to wait until we're no longer cursed in this,
She was doing so good with the rhyme scheme.
Let her.
Oh, there it was. Oh, there,
make her stop.
She landed.
Come on, landed the plane. Just make her stop. Just make her
you
stop.
Make me. Make
stop.
You make me very nervous, but we do have a bigger purpose. So I will see you later, tiny alligator.
Woo! Holy Woo! Shit, you did it! Good job.
You see Chestnut looks at you, is like, the whole time he's just been seeing Geraldine and Amira on your shoulders, like, I was gonna say angel and devil, both shoulder devils. No angels in this scenario. Devils.
Come on.
And don't take You're that helping. Trick.
I'll give her a heart dice.
As you were saying this, you see his face just, like, slowly slacken, and by the end of it, he starts, like, crying just a little bit.
Oh!
And towards, at the very end, he just grabs your hand and goes,
never in my entire life has anyone written a song just for me.
It's also like spoken word. It's this new thing called rap. I'm working on it.
It's
even better. On it. The rhyme scheme was so clear and potent, and the message
super tight.
Directly to my heart.
Winnie is looking around like, is anyone else experiencing this moment other than me? We're all on the same page. Is this literally the narrative we're going with? Winnie is in complete disbelief that this is actually what's happening.
You see, he looks at you and his tears kind of still in his eyes. He goes,
ever since I lost my pet glowworm, I thought I would never find love again. But
oh my God,
seeing you now, hearing your words, those alluring, dulcet tones, I know I will find love again. I'll find it.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yay! I shall away my love, and we shall go to the queen. But you stay here, and we'll be, like, right back.
I mean, really, Chestnut, I think you should come with us. You need to make the introduction to the queen, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Adelaide.
Yeah, I think we need him, Adelaide.
Do we?
Yeah.
Because she has the cure to the curse. Like, it all rests on her convincing the queen. So you should stay as close as possible. She did make you a rap song.
I will stay directly by your side, never to be parted from you again from this moment on.
Right, totally, totally.
That's great.
For sure.
This is awesome. Good. This is good. She's awake now.
Yeah, you know what? For this, because I give you such a disadvantage for this guy, your weariness is immediately gone.
Yeah!
My weariness has turned to wariness.
Right. That's a good pendulum swing, baby. Weariness to wariness. Let's go.
Oh my God.
You walk with Chestnut. Adelaide, he kind of like puts out his arm in a very like gentlemanly, you know, hook your arm through the crook.
And Adelaide does take it. Tell me everything that happens here. Like, I want to know all of it. Like, who's popular? Who's banging who? Who's banging whose wife? You've got to know everything.
Oh, let me dish.
Oof. Hey!
He begins to tell you everything about this town. There's a bunch of pixie drama that is happening. A lot of it has been kind of pushed to the side by the fact that they are quickly running out of food.
Yeah.
They had a storehouse where they stored a bunch of food, as well as they kept a beehive that like helped them make honey. Their honey, similar to the beehive that you saw, got infected by this kind of infected pollen from infected flowers.
No.
And the animals that ate from that honey became feral and also cursed as well.
Oh,
bees.
Poor babies.
The worst of them. There are a number of things that seem to find their way down into the storeroom cellar that where they house much of their food. Small animals, things, but still feral and vicious. And ultimately, even a small animal to a pixie is a very dangerous thing indeed. The worst of which was a collection of rats.
Oh.
And as he's telling you this, you guys are approaching the door to the castle. He kind of like knocks in a very ceremonial way and the doors are open. He goes,
I did battle with them as well. 7 rats all bound together by the tail in this horrible concoction, making almost one terrifying creature. And
ew.
Ever since then, we haven't been able to get anywhere near the place. And that's where all of our food is. We're on strict rations now.
Wait, 7 rats. Adelaide doesn't know a lot of things, but there are some things that she kind of remembers. So 7 rats all together by the tail. There's a name for that. Mouse monarch. No. No.
That sounds pretty close.
Rodent rain. No.
You got this. Just keep going.
You hear from the distance, the word you're looking for is rat king, my darling.
It was on the tip of her tongue.
Yeah, I had that. Yeah, that was the word. And as you say, rat king, like as she, like as though I'm saying it at the same time, which I obviously had not been.
Floating towards you on grand monarch butterfly wings, illustrious is Queen Gardenia. Just to look at her, it is apparent who she is and the regal power that she possesses. She has like a very big updo of like thick locks all pulled together and this very flowy white dress that comes down to the floor and kind of glits along the floor, even as she is flying a couple of inches above the floor. So the dress is going down even further than her feet. And she is like staying, you know, a certain amount above the floor in this very ethereal and kind of almost spooky way, the way she glides, and this dress just touches the floor as she goes. And who are you who has entered my humble Berrybrook?
Hello, Queen Gardenia. It is an honor and a pleasure to make your acquaintance, and I'm sorry that it is under such a stressful time for you and your people.
Thank you very much for your kind concern towards my people. I ask again, what are four humans doing in the land of the pixies?
Right, totally,
yes. And a horse.
Sorry, we brought a horse in. Small now.
She hit that human kind of hard, huh?
She's a hard age.
Hard age.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're princesses in our own human domains, and we are on a quest to acquire some things so that we can try to break the candy curse that the witch Dulcinea has unfortunately spread across the land.
As you say Dulcinea, her gaze narrows immediately.
Mm.
Dulcinea, you say?
Yes, well, she's dead, but unfortunately her handiwork is not.
You see, at the thought of her being dead, you see a true, big, wide-eyed smile crosses this woman's lips.
Satisfy.
For bringing me this wonderful news, I will happily allow you into my chambers. Please follow me.
Oh, thank you so much.
And she pulls you into a very grand receiving room where there's a large throne sitting. The throne seems to be like elevated a number of feet in the air so that she can sit on it and literally be like looking out over top of people. It's a weird thing because a lot of pixies are flying around and you guys are walking on the ground. So this,
yeah.
I think to a normal pixie, this is not like a super intimidating thing, but to you, it is now a person really looming over you in a slightly uncomfortable way.
Straight up.
Yeah, I do get on my tiptoes. Should
we all just get on Matt? Get a little elevation?
Just do a little standing acrobatics on Matt.
Yeah, Amira's standing on top of Matt. You're still only at, like, I don't know, knee height with this woman.
Someone want to get on my shoulders?
Ooh, yeah, we could be like a circus.
Geraldine does not think about this twice. She leaps up. She does a whole bunch of flips and twists and gets on your shoulders. And now we do look like we're in a circus.
You boom, 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 up to the shoulders. Immediately, there's a bunch of like courtesans around and all of them go,
oh, hey.
Or the courtesans, that's the right word? Like court people? Hangers on?
Courtesan, I believe, is...
no, what's the word I'm looking for?
Courtesan is...
I think we can keep it.
That's what I'm looking for.
Denizens members of the court?
Denizens members of the court. Members of the court would work, yeah.
The pixie's getting freaky.
Yes, hey. Courtesan is the wrong word. Yeah.
As you jump up there, all the members of the court that are around this area that are like watching this grand viewing chamber all begin to go, and Queen Gardenia gives a small smile at the kind of like act that is happening in front of her and quickly waves them off with a small wave of her hand, and they all begin to chatter amongst themselves. And she looks at you and goes, so, the witch Dulcinea is dead. The thief, I should say. Wonderful.
Well, we heard that she took your wand.
there's again kind of a mumble, a murmur around from all the people of the court. Yes, she did take my wand some time ago. I thought she was a dear friend for some time. She was researching the aspects of honey for a number of years with us. She was very interested in its ability to never spoil. And then the person I called a dear friend stole my honey dipper wand, an artifact given to me by my mother, from her mother, and took it away, and I've not seen it since.
Well, that, so we have a lot we're trying to a lot of information we want to get from you. And part of what we're willing to exchange for it, I mean, we're attempting to break the curse, so there's that. But we are headed, I believe, to Dulcinea's castle and hope very much to recover this wand for you and return it. We can't promise it, but it is something that we very much hope to accomplish in our quest to break this curse.
She looks at you kind of narrow-eyed and goes, if you should return such a treasured item to me, I would be forever in your debt, and I would accept you in my court forever as friend.
At that, a Geraldine sort of winks at Adelaide, like, yeah, you could visit patrol leader anytime you want.
The patrol chestnut looks at you and goes,
Two thumbs up. I was going to say, she says all this, yes, just with a look of like, nice. You guys can be together.
Adelaide just does like a little thumbs up. So, you know, like Queen Gardenia, your floatiness, tell us more about this rat king that we both knew the words of at exactly the same time.
Yes, it is a collection of rats gone feral after having eaten some of our poisoned and cursed honey.
Is it still here?
It has taken up residence in the deepest parts of our food storeroom.
Oh.
We've attempted a number of times to eradicate this terrifying beast, and each time we've been buffeted back, so much so that we have had to finally, unfortunately, cut our losses, ration the food that we do have above ground, and seal away this dungeon that it has become.
Do you mind if I just take like a quick hot second? And Adelaide gently removes her arm from the crook of his arm and just like gives him a little kiss on the cheek.
Oh my goodness.
Do you mind if we confer for like a quick hot second? We'll just be right back.
I would not be a hospitable host if I did not allow you a brief recess.
Gorgeous.
And she claps her hands, and immediately a bunch of people come up with, like, teas and cakes, both for her and for you guys. Like, seats are set around you, and a small table is given to you.
Oh.
So you now are, like, find yourself seated at a small, essentially, like, conference table, and then everyone quickly gives you, like, your own space. It's clear that this is a relatively standard request, and they, like, know how to deal with it. Of, like, these people need some time to confer on their own. Boom, let's make them as comfortable as possible.
Oh.
Geraldine backflips off of Amira's shoulders.
And directly into a chair.
Yeah, yes. Adelaide sits down, grabs a napkin, and starts filling. And, like, as she's talking, she's grabbing little bits of food and wrapping it up and putting it, like, in her bag. Okay, so it sounds like we're going to have to... She grabs another piece of food, wraps it. Sounds like we're going to have to go and... I guess get the tails off of this seven, you know, this rat king thing is part of what we're grabbing, the tail of the king.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Winnie, do you know much about rats?
Mm-hmm. Was there like a specific question?
Like, do you think if we just ask real nice, they can give them, they'll give it to us?
Not if they're feral and defending food like this. They're probably hostile and may have to be put down.
Oh, dear.
And then we could extract the tails that way. We could try to talk to them, but I don't know. I don't know their situation enough. Seven of them combined by the tails. That sounds bad.
Feels chaotic.
It does.
Adelaide like grabs like a huge knife and is like checking her hair and like checking the bags under her eyes. Well, then I guess we just have to, she puts it also in her bag, like this knife, because we just have to cut these tails off. And then she grabs a fork and also puts that in her bag. It's a nice fork.
You never know when you might need a fork.
You see, nearby, there's like a small like member of the court who's clearly some kind of like almost like butler type thing, and is just making check marks of all the things that you're taking. Just like
Adelaide, this woman has already been stolen from.
Oh, I'll give these back.
That's her entire distrust of humans.
Yeah, I'll give them back. I just don't have anything to cut a rat tail off with.
Oh, well, we've got my cooking knife. And Geraldine, like, flips it out of her. She's, like, twisting it in her hands.
I have an axe.
Yeah, I've got a slingshot. I think that this is a... I've got a slingshot. You've got them hands. They've got sharp objects. I think this is a all hands on deck for these all tails on deck kind of situation.
The butler runs over and goes, don't mean to interrupt, I am the court butler and also the court eavesdropper.
That's a job. You get paid for that? And all you got to do is work
handsomely. Yes.
Adelaide's moving in.
Just wanted to let you know, all of the accoutrement at this table, we assume it will be stolen. It's kind of almost like a gift. Anything that you leave is actually
like a souvenir.
In this particular court, it would be considered rude if you don't take it.
Oh. See, it's considered rude. If we don't take it, Adelaide starts grabbing everything.
I look shocked.
Take the tablecloth off, like tie it up, put it in the hat bag.
Just like make a bindle.
We take the table, all the chairs.
Adelaide grabs the hot tea off of it first so it doesn't spill all over everything.
Win, get in on this. Take some.
Oh my God.
What do you want, Win? Do you want anything?
No, I don't want anything.
Okay.
You see the little table that Queen Gardenia has also been given. She is also putting forks into her pocket.
It's a show of respect. You like their stuff so much, it's worth taking.
Yeah, I like it here.
I love this.
The only thing more confusing than humans are pixies, and I understand that now.
As you guys are discussing what to do with this potential Rat King, you flick back to your brief conversation with the bees in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And the radical difference you saw between a conversation with normal bees and a conversation with these feral, cursed bees. You recognize that bees are a relatively docile species.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that you're like, oh, this was extreme. This is an extreme change. To think of that with a bunch of rats tied together with a tail, you see this as an extremely dangerous enemy if it has been found to be like feral because of this cursed honey.
Okay.
So I guess we go in and just ask them, like, we can do this the easy way or we could do this the hard way. I would love the easy way of just Winnie being like, give us your tails.
I think it's going to be the hard way.
Do you think that's even worth a try? Or do you think it's better to surprise attack?
Winnie, what would you morally feel better about?
Making the attempt at a negotiation and then making the death as quick and painless as possible.
Yeah, so you go in and you're like, you know, give us your tails. And we're like, or else. I think that's great. That's how negotiation works. Let's go.
What if we just like sneak attacked? We were just like, we sent in Winnie and then the rest of us wait for a signal in case it doesn't go the way we want it to go.
Amira, you look down at your fingertips and you see icing all over your fingers.
Stop this.
Nobody look at me.
Amira, why did you scream?
But Amira, you see there were a number of cupcakes that were on the table.
Brian ain't shit.
Sorry, no, I said icing on my fingies from the cupcakes.
Let me just Brian ain't good people.
Pick those off.
Act like you've been somewhere before. Jeez.
This is why you got kicked out of Tony Spagoosh's. This is exactly why.
Okay, no, that's not why I took. No,
Jesus Christ, Mira.
Tony Spagoosh is just mad that I'm so good at the Spagoosh challenge.
It's true. It does make Tony really mad,
and you are really good at the Spagoosh challenge.
Yeah, she really is.
All right.
Okay. We don't have a lot of time. We should probably go address the situation soon. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if the Rat King is stuck in there with a food source. I mean, it's really only a matter of time before they escape anyway. I think we better go get this done quick.
And then I think Geraldine is going to, like, step away from the table and attempt to do an awkward thing of both, like, bowing to Queen Gardenia, except that she's, like, 3 feet high. Like, her bowing to her is weird because I also have to look up at her. So she's doing this very weird, like, her body's contorted into a way where you're like, bones shouldn't go like that.
Ooh, I love it.
And she's like, my queen, we would like an attempt to rid you of this problem. And if you would be so kind as to allow us access to this food store area, we're going to see what we can do about this pest.
You see an advisor comes over and, like, chatters in her ear for a moment. And then she gives a small nod and she looks at you and goes, I would be happy to grant you access to our storeroom that has been sealed off ever since we were attacked by the Rat King. However, I cannot risk the safety of my citizens. If you wish to enter in, we will seal it behind you until you knock again.
That seems like a fair and wise move.
Mm-hmm. Does it? I mean, it does. Yeah, totally.
Hadley, she's sort of, she's fine.
She's not wrong, but no, that's fair.
When we come back, can you tell us if you've seen the unicorn or something recently? You don't have to do that now, but you can just circle back to that.
You don't have to do it now.
We ain't got to do it now.
Just
we
think about
it.
Such a casual question.
Maybe ask the court folks if they...
She looks to her advisor and snaps, and the advisor immediately makes a note of it and then tears off something and hands you an appointment card for later the next day.
Dope!
Thank you.
Of course.
Your Grace, just a quick question. What did Dewan do? What does the wand do? The one that Dulcinea stole.
The wand is a family heirloom, first and foremost. Something that my mother got from her mother and from hers before her, but largely, it is a source of immense power. It's a very powerful magical item that allowed me to better protect my people. Could cast a number of spells that allowed me to expand my powers. And it was helpful. Now we have to rely on this cursed fog to protect us when a queen should be stronger.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. I would be happy, elated, to have it returned.
We're gonna try our best. We promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be cheering for your safe return.
Oh, we're gonna make sure Amira makes that appointment.
Yes. Yeah,
we're coming back. So don't forget about the unicorns. That's important and part of it.
We all care about that equally.
The court eavesdropper comes over and goes, yes, it is actually very important that you are on time for this meeting. being late is honestly more offensive than pretty much anything else you can do. It's almost worse than stealing from the queen.
Well, huh. What about being early?
Oh, no. Significantly worse. You should be just on time for your court appointment.
Okay, good to know.
Thank you.
Matt's very punctual, so we'll just make sure Matt's in charge of that. Yeah, there you go.
Matt's very punctual.
You are guided out of the chamber. Queen Gardenia gives you a small nod of her head and then very quickly moves to other court business. And Chestnut begins to lead you, Adelaide, by the arm and the rest of you over to this, what is a former storeroom, now something closer to the dungeon of the Rat King.
Oh.
It has been boarded over. All of the boards have been nailed shut very thoroughly. And he gets a crowbar and slowly begins to undo this massive door that has been erected around this essentially hole in the ground. And it quickly is opened and you see a dark, damp, cool chasm below you. And somewhere off deep in the tunnels, you hear an echoing sound of a chittering swarm of rats and a single roar.
We're not inside of it yet, are we? We're just, the door is still open. We can turn around if you want.
A mirror.
And that is where we'll end this episode.
No!
That's good. My first dungeon barrels and princesses.
That's good.
Oh. Fine.
That's good.
I'm terrified.
That's good.
Oh, body horror and horror. Okay.
That's all good. Right. Yeah.
I see you, Brian.
Three times the horror.
So many horrors.
Dungeon crawl here, too?
Yeah. So many horrors.
Out of horrors.
Tune in next time as these four princesses delve deep into the lair of the Rat King.
Dun, dun, and no, dun. Bridget, those are the courtesans, not horror.
Oh, my bad. We're going with this level of colloquialism. I understand now, baby. Same page. Mm-hmm.
And as always, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Mwah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing by Brian Flaherty. Sound design by Jay Stroutman. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkback for this episode, which sounds a little something like this.
That was stressful. That was good, though. It was stressful.
Oh, was it stressful for you, for the three of you? Because you weren't rolling the dice.
I do want to say, thank you so much for volunteering to roll the dice all episode.
Fuck you, Danielle. Get the hell out of here with that shit.
You're so brave.
So brave.
I gotta go. My mom's here. I gotta go.
And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. As I was saying it, I knew courtesans was the wrong word. I'm like, what the fuck is the word I'm thinking of?
Painted a very specific picture in my mind.
I was like, that's not what this is.
I kind of dug, but I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the kind of court we're in.
I see why she never remarried. She doesn't need to.
Yeah, it was like Versailles to like
she got a
Moulin Rouge, and I was super into it.
Yeah.